Content presented on the following podcast is for information purposes only. The views and opinion expressed from host and caregivers are solely given based on the experiences of the individuals involved. Because each person is so unique, always consult your physician, physical or occupational therapist, or medical and fitness advice. Are you struggling to help your aging parents or disabled spouse to do everyday personal care tasks? Are you concerned about them falling or you injuring yourself? What is the task that is so difficult for you to help them to do? You are not alone. We can help. Call in and tell us your challenge. Here, you can receive practical tips and strategies from an occupational therapist and from other caregivers like yourself. And here is your host, Consuela Marshall.
Hello, I'm Consuela, and I'm an occupational therapist. And on this podcast, you get to learn about your role as a caregiver. You get to embrace your limitations, learn how to best provide for the needs of your loved one in a safe and efficient manner. And you get to know that you're not alone. Look, every caregiving story is so different, and it's you who get to write that caregiving story for your life. You get to learn how to take care of your loved ones. You get to learn how to accept that you cannot do it all. And you get to learn what to let go. And you get to learn what to pick back up, how to pick back up your life, how to walk in tune with your life while also caring for your loved one. Look, I believe you can still find a way of taking care of your loved ones while also taking care of yourself. So stay tuned. We've got some caregiving to talk about. Welcome to another episode of Caregivers Finding a Foothold. Look, this is the podcast where you get those tips, you get those strategies on how to take the stress out of what you're doing. You know, many of you all do a great job, but also many of you all work too hard. You're doing too much, you're doing it the wrong way, you're wearing yourself out. And look, that's not a requirement of caregiving. Caregiving is just having a heart to care, but then you have to know the how. And this is where finding a foothold comes in. I'm Consuela. I am an occupational therapist for 27 plus years. And I was also the caregiver to my mom who lived in my home. And look, and I've been in thousands of homes. I've seen the struggles. And many of those struggles mirrored the same struggles I was having when caring for my mom. But I have learned the strategies to overcome many of those struggles. And the key is in the how you're doing the caregiving. So caregivers, thank you so much for what you're doing. But look, I want to teach you ways of doing it easier. So in today's podcast, I want to talk about how you can just maintain a good, healthy lifestyle, a good well-being as a caregiver, while you're also caregiving for your loved one. It doesn't have to be one or the other. Like you have to just put your whole life on the back burner because you're taking care of mom or dad. No. You've got to learn how to do them both, or you're not going to survive, or you're not going to survive well. So look, I want to share those with you all, because the more you learn about how to care, the better this journey will be for you. So today's episode, I want to stress to you the importance of maintaining your health and well-being as a caregiver. So look, I'm going to start with giving you some tips. And I'm going to run through 7 tips with you right quick. So look, get your pen, get your paper out, and we're going to take some notes here. And look, I want you to share this podcast with somebody else that you may see that's struggling and trying to maintain everything that they're doing for their loved ones. But in the process, they may not be taking care of themselves. So look, tip number one, you want to make sure you are having a good diet. Making sure you are having the right intake. If you're not eating well because you're not making time, you're eating on the run, you're eating between appointments, you are just not sitting down to eat, and you're just putting anything in your mouth and you're really not paying attention to what you're eating, you're sabotaging your health. So the one thing I want you to do is making sure you're having a good, well-balanced diet. And adding to that is point number two, exercise. You know, and the process of the day, you're doing a whole lot. You're maybe even lifting, pulling, doing all of these things to take care of your loved one. Look, don't count that as exercise. That is not the exercise I'm talking about. I'm talking about separating yourself from caregiving and going out and possibly maybe just doing a walk. Finding something that you can do to de-stress yourself. For some of you all, it's running. For some of you all, it's walking. You know, yoga for some people. It is, what is it that you like to do? It could even be a dance, putting on that favorite music and just letting it all out and just taking yourself to another place when things were just easier and just finding yourself just relaxing in that time. It's just finding a way to get that exercise in. And so we've talked about your intake. We've talked about the exercise. And another one I want you to find time for is really getting help and accepting help. That's number three. Because, you know, you really won't have time for that number one and number two if you don't find a way of asking for help and or even accepting help from those who've offered. Because you may have already said, I don't have time to eat right. I just don't have time. I've just got to eat what I can and I don't have time to exercise. And it could be because you're not asking for help. When someone even offers to help, you may say, oh, I don't need it, because they may can say, well, I can come by on a certain day. I can probably spend an hour on Friday. You may think that's not enough time for anything. Oh, rethink that, because that can be some time that you can use to sit down by yourself or with somebody to really just have a meal and just enjoy what you're eating and just taking a break from the caregiving. And now the fourth point would be, adding to what I just said, is that social aspect. If you don't make time to stop isolating and start interacting with other people, mentally, you're not going to stay in a well place. The negative thoughts can come because you're so just engrossed in everything that you're having to do, and you're not having that time where you can get away and separate from caregiving, that you can really get into a dark space because you don't have that social interaction that you need. So keeping those relationships with people that you can enjoy time with is important. So staying connected to those friends socially is a component to maintaining your health and well-being. The next point, sometimes we need a little bit more support than what those friends can provide. Sometimes we just really need to be in a group of people who really understand what we're going through. Yeah, your friends are there, and look, that's valuable, because that you don't even want to think about caregiving. You can think about something totally different, and they are great for that. But there's that time when you really need to fellowship or be with somebody who knows what you're going through, who's experiencing the frustration, or those times when you're just really thinking nobody understands how you feel, that you're thinking nobody has a parent that really responds in the way that my mom or dad responds to me. And you really want to know that somebody understands those feelings that surface in you when you are just really overwhelmed with the duties of caregiving. And that's where those support groups happen. And you can find those support groups in a lot of places, in your local community, in the way of churches may have support groups, and maybe even some organizations, some national organizations have different chapters that have the support groups that can be virtual or they can be in person, that it is good to meet with those support groups and really share your heart, get it off your chest, and be encouraged by others who've been through the stage that you're currently at and who've seen the light of day and who've gone through that, and be encouraged by that. So I've gone through several steps of the eating, making sure you're eating, making sure you're exercising, making sure that you are having the social support from your friends and now the support from having involvement in a group. And I want to just add right there, I do have an online coaching program group that is available for those who want to explore that option, that you can definitely connect with me on that. And going to step number five is making sure you're keeping your doctor's appointments, making sure that you're not canceling your appointments because you don't want to take off work because you've already taken off work to care for your loved ones. And you don't want to take another day off because you know you're going to be off again next week because they have another appointment. You know, you want to keep your appointment as essential because you need to make sure you are not letting something brew inside of you that can be addressed right now instead of it being advanced. And there may not be an easier option of correcting that if you are going to prolong these appointments, whether it's medical, dental, those types of things. Another way of looking at maintaining your physical and health and well-being is respite. Finding time off. I mean, like off. Finding a way of making it happen. Respite services are not always free. That is often a cost associated with that. But sometimes, you know, look at respite in a way of sometimes asking a sibling to come in and stay for 3 or 4 days so you can go away. Or if your loved one is still mobile and about, but they're just not able to be by themselves, is there an opportunity for them to go be with somebody else and live for about a week while you can actually get away on a vacation? So looking at respite opportunities, even through organizations, is there an organization that can help you in the way of, are there any grants that come available every, you know, so often where someone may donate funds to an organization that will cater to the needs of those caregivers who also have loved ones suffering from those same illnesses. So really think about that as an option for you to really maintain your well-being in caregiving. So look, the points that I have addressed are really, and I'm going to look at my list so I don't miss anything, and is making sure your diet is maintained, your exercises, making sure you're moving and maintaining your health and strength, making sure that you have supports from social activities that you can do with other people, socializing with your friends, with your spouse, with your kids, that need to keep those connections healthy in your life. Also looking at the support groups as a whole, and what are the support groups that can really benefit you of being at outlets so that you can better express yourself and not feel that you're in along in this caregiving with the feelings that may surface along the way. And number 6, taking care of your health. You've got to keep those doctor's appointments. You've got to keep your health important, because if you're not around, who's going to take care of your loved one? May not be an option. So the more you can do at taking care of your health, the better you'll be prepared to continue the journey of caregiving. And the last thing is just respite. Taking time off from caregiving. You know, I would love it if everybody can just take off and just completely leave and have someone come in and help your loved one, or your loved one go somewhere and stay in-house somewhere else with somebody or at some facility. And I know that's a lot more difficult during this pandemic, but it still happens, and there are some safe options, but it takes a lot more work for it to be done. But the key is just taking those breaks. Respite can mean extended periods, but respite can also mean daily time set aside for you to focus on yourself only. Focusing on something that you want to do, that you want to sit down and laugh about, something on television, a show for you to watch, a person you can call, just any little thing, any little hobby that you can just now say, look, I never had time for this as a hobby before, but I'm going to try this. And maybe that's a hobby that you can add into your life. Explore that. This may be the time to just focus on something new that you can enjoy. But look, those are my 7 tips from how to maintain a healthy lifestyle and well-being while you're caregiving. Think through those. See what are those things that you can adopt into your life so that it can lower the stress level that may be starting to brew up in your life. Because we need you here. We need you around. We want you healthy. So look, thank you for being a caregiver. I appreciate all that you're doing and you're caring for your loved one. Now also care for yourself. And I'll see you again on the next episode of Finding a Foothold. Take care.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Caregivers Finding a Foothold. We hope you found information that was useful and encouraging to you. And we want to invite you to visit the website, findingafoothold.com, and look at the resources that are available to you there. And also, we encourage you to follow us on our social media accounts, findingafoothold.com, on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And thank you so much for being a caregiver. And our desire is that you find your foothold in caregiving. Thank you so much, and we'll see you again on next episode. Take care.